We'll have the recording started. Sorry, so the recording has started. Thank you, Glenn. So welcome to the joint CCNSO, GNSO, IDN working group. Those who are connecting online will have the what I'm showing here shortly in the Adobe Connect as well. So I guess we can just go around the table for the roll call and just introduce yourself.
Carrie Karp, Dot Museum.
Patrick Jones, ICANN staff.
Tina Dale, ICANN staff.
Karen Lentz, ICANN staff.
Terry Davis, GNSO.
Bart Bullswinkle, ICANN staff.
Graphic Demok, NCAG, GNSO.
Avery Doria, NCSG.
Ricardo Pedraza, .cc.
And I'm Edmund Chung. Anyone on the line? Or Gabby, is anyone on the line that... Okay. Thank you.
Is this a closed working group?
No, this is an open group. Welcome. Okay, so let me advance. So just want to give a brief update on some of the things that it's good to have Zhang Jian here, my co-chair. Welcome. So we started the group, the first meeting in earlier this year in March, end of March, and then we have started biweekly meetings since April 20th. Basically, the main item that was done was we have identified three issues of common interest for ccTLDs and gTLDs on IDN TLDs. So the first one being single character IDN TLDs, the second one being IDN TLD variants, and the third one being universal acceptability of IDN TLDs. So we did get a briefing from Tina earlier on IDN TLD variants. I think we will probably need an update further today, but perhaps I sent around the agenda earlier, and we will start with the single character IDN, because last time Tina wasn't able to join us, we had a brief discussion on that topic. But I think it will be useful if we can, hear from Tina and from staff what the policy aspects need to be in terms of the single character IDN TLD. I point back to the work team final report that there needs to be some policy consideration for a single character IDN TLD. But I think we're not clear what those policy aspects need to be and how we can proceed. So again, thank you, Tina, for being here. I'll let you speak to that particular issue.
All right, so thanks, Edmund. So I have a little bit of a hard time with this first subject, as you can probably guess. You know, it's hard for me to say what the policy should be on single character IDN TLDs. You know, we had the working group on the subject that said that they didn't see any technical issues and they were going to throw it back to the policy groups. And then I think the GNSO and the CCNSO said, well, we have the JIG, so let's, you know, they're already a joint group on IDN, so let's them talk about policy. But I think you guys on this working group are, you know, the policy people, and I think, I really honestly think that it should be up to you guys to discuss what are the possible policy complications on the subject for single character. You know, one thing could be, how should it be allocated? Should it be allocated the same way? There's obviously a smaller amount of single characters than when you move to 2-3 and multiple characters, so that could be one subject. I don't know if you think it matters, but some might. You know, that could be something to talk about. And there's, you know, other things too. I mean, you could basically go through something like the GTLD program and look at all of the different components in it that are policy related, and then just open a question and say, is there anything about this policy that should be special because it's a single character? And I'm sure a lot of those subjects you would just be like, no, it should be the same. It should be the same as 2-character, 3-character, and everything else. But some of them might, you know, trigger some thoughts for somebody and say, oh, you know, when it's a single character, this has like a special side to it. So if there isn't like ideas on top of people's heads, then I would suggest maybe doing something like that, because that would mean that you would cover pretty broadly any kind of policy questions that right now are or have been dealt with in the GTLD program. So that would be one way of doing it. And that, honestly, that's just really on top of my head.
Thank you, Tina. It's the question was really it was written in the final report, but since I don't not all of us was in the working team, the question was just whether the team did talk about it at all. So I gather that there wasn't a particular discussion. Carrie,
what team do you mean?
The implementation work team of the
yeah,
earlier.
So so they did. So you mean what policy issues they
right,
might
it, right
have
right
that
what
was.
What have been brought up to end with that sentence? I think Carrie wanted to
let me turn this into a question. And the consideration of that group was: are there any technical issues that attach specifically to single character labels? And the answer was no. Therefore, it is a policy concern. But we couldn't come up with any policies that we actually might even start wondering about. What policies might attach to the length of a label, other than just arbitrary somehow to restrict the number of the size of the available pool? So, I mean, the question is to you. I mean, you're chairing this thing. You're asking us. So let me ask you. What, for example, do you envision as being a policy that might be reasonable to attach to one-character labels?
Right. So I understand that process. The question was from myself actually was just whether there were considerations already, so we can take that into consideration when we embark on the discussion.
We couldn't come up with any technical constraints.
So I don't think the group together voted or agreed on anything when it came to that, to what was, what was issues that needed to be dealt with for policy for single character. They just decided that there was at least some and then pass it back to policy. I think one of the things that were mentioned, without that group being in agreement on it whatsoever, but I think one of the things that were mentioned, other than just what Carrie hinted at, which is overall policy, how do you deal with something like this? One thing that was brought up was financially, how do you deal with that on the subject of single character? And I think that again goes back to the fact that there's a smaller number of single characters than others. And as Carrie said, that group couldn't come up with anything technical, but I also know that there's parts of our community who have feelings that relate a little bit to technical, which has to do with the fact that when you type in a single character as a top-level domain, you have a bigger risk of, typing it wrong, and that makes you go somewhere else. So you go somewhere wrong. You don't just type it wrong. If you type a 5-character TLD wrong, chances are you'll get nowhere. If you type a 1-character wrong and there's a lot of 1-character TLDs, chances are you'll go somewhere wrong and maybe not notice it. So I know there are parts of our community who has that concern. Is that policy? Is that technical? Or is it a mix? Yeah, I don't know, but that could be something you could take up in this group if you wanted to.
Thank you. Well, I think the last time on the conference call we had a discussion on this topic. I think these are some of the questions. I think the first step we were hoping to do is to take a stock taking of the issues. So far I've heard three. One is particular financial arrangements. I'm guessing this is financial arrangements, as in ICANN fees or application fees, or was that the okay? And then the other one is the confusability might be additional consideration because it's a single character. And sorry, Carrie, the one. You mentioned one of the issues. It's a smaller pool. Okay, so on the subject of smaller pool, or there's fewer of these. I find it kind of strange because there's also only one.com that can exist. So, regardless of how long the string, the uniqueness is conceptually the same. So I guess if you want to add, but I'll also open to floor anyone who wants to speak on this particular issue as we do sort of a stock taking of the items. I've Carrie and then Avery, anyone else?
It's been variously stated quite openly that there's an aspect of prime real estate that attaches to the shortest conceivable labels. And just in terms of the mechanism for dealing with the economics is probably not quite the right word, but it's more an economic consideration than any other consideration, that this has to be dealt with as a case different from the other cases, simply because there's going to be an awful lot more contention for a conceivable label. And if somebody has a dictionary word that they want, okay, the number of people who are going to want that same dictionary word is way smaller than the number of people who would fight to get .a or .b or .c or any .ideograph. Yeah. And I think that's sort of the underlying concern. And everybody is turning to the technical side to see if there's some technical thing that they can peg this to. Oh, we can't hand out one character domains because the internet will break. And that's unfortunately not all of it, but it's not solely a policy concern either. Or rather, it's a policy concern, but the framework in which those policies will uniquely attach, nobody really quite dares sketch.
Avery?
Yeah, this is Avery. One of the situations, the discussions that always came up when people had talked about just ASCII single was, of course, the prime real estate and how do you make somebody pay for it. There was no auction mechanism already established. There was nothing like that. If you look at the GTLD program, at least on the GTLD side, I don't know about the CCTLD side, where scarcity might have to be dealt with differently. On the GTLD side, that scarcity, you could sort of say that problem has been dealt with in IDN GTLDs of a single character because there already is an auction mechanism. So that scarcity mechanism, how do you handle it? And assuming that the other thing that people had often talked about is if you do bring in a lot of money from something like this, we want to make sure that it's used for some notion of public good. We all had different ideas about what that meant, but some notion. That has also already been established for GTLDs within the GTLD auction mechanism, or at least it's projected as being resolved that way. So I think that part of that issue is on the GTLD side of the issue, is well dealt with. Now, you may have some side issues on the whole, does it look like an ASCII character? Is it really a single character, or is it an IDN issue on the extended ASCII part? So you may need some rules that sort of deal with that middle space. Is that A, that you're looking at an IDN extended ASCII A, or is it a ASCII A? And so you would probably need to make some rule to deal with, and that would go for, you know, some of the Cyrillic single characters, et cetera. But I think that that's on the confusion that you go to a different site. I actually think that while it's true that you would end up going somewhere if you typed an O as opposed to an O with an umlaut or something, but it's less likely that it's a phishing site, as you know, that you happen in the multi-characters because it's prime real estate, so it's unlikely to be left there just for somebody that wants to use it for phishing. So I think the confusability that you'll go somewhere wrong is true, but you'll go somewhere wrong that's owned by somebody and is something serious, and you'll just be in the wrong place and go, oops, and go back to where you belong. Thanks.
Good points.
Yes, youngam.kr. I just wanted to point out that single character, ASCII single character, is very different from an IDN single character, especially in Korean. In order to type a single character in Korean, I would have to type in sometimes three or four characters into it. So that's very different. I just would like to point that out, and I think that should be treated differently.
Gary?
Here we go again. This is so locale specific. I mean, the case that Avery mentioned, the Cyrillic A is one character. Latin A is one key press. Cyrillic A, one key press, Latin A. And you're not supposed to be able to see the difference. If you see the difference, something is wrong. So there are situations, this has been mentioned, that the confusability issue in many contexts relates to text entry. I mean, how likely are you to type the wrong three characters to get the right one displayed one? But that's not universal. I think one of the problems that attaches to this entire policy sphere is that everybody keeps thinking that the 6,500 languages on this earth can be managed by one set of uniform IDN policies. And it is laughable. And even if that 6,500 is an exaggerated number, there's probably a three-digit number of languages that sooner or later is going to figure in this discussion. And there are policies that need to attach to each and every one of them. And we keep believing that a single character, a single what character? Yeah. A single ideograph, a single alphabetic character, an alphabetic character that's composite. I mean, It just doesn't. It doesn't get as easy as we just keep insisting on believing that it will.
Thank you, Gary. Was there somebody? Why don't
Actually, I would like to ask a question because I'm not familiar with the GTLD application process. Since every already mentioned, you already got non-single character application process in place. So why couldn't we just use the same procedure, like same auction mechanism for the single character, IDN single character?
I think that's what I was saying, that except in those cases, and by the way, Carrie, I wasn't trying to say that they would all be treated the same. I was saying there would be exceptions. But that's exactly what I was saying. For GTLDs, I believe that the auction mechanism that exists now would probably deal with the financial aspects of the issue. One of the problems we always had is that if we were going to go for, let's say, .O or .P, many people would have wanted it. How do we do it? Et cetera. How do we open those up? But now that we've got for the GTLDs an auction, I think that that is probably a fine financial solution, leaving aside. But I'm also saying CCTLD doesn't have that particular solution, so you need to come up with yet another way to make your decisions on single character.
Sure. Gary.
Avery, I understand that you understand the nuance of this and that you realize that there are going to be exceptions. What I'm suggesting is that by the time the dust settles on this, we are going to we'll determine that the number of necessary exceptions is a profoundly larger number than the number of easy cases, and that the very attempt to proceed under the assumption that the easy cases are the more numerous and the exceptions the less numerous is... It's going to end up wasting time. As a matter of fact, it's obviously doing so. None of these efforts are really converging on anything. And I suspect that the reason is because the underlying stuff is just not amenable to the kind of analysis that we're subjecting it to.
There was a question here, but I wanted to make one comment first. I'll stick my head out and say that I was in both the IDN working group and the reserve names working group of the new GTLD process, and this particular issue was discussed about single character IDN TLDs, and through those discussions it was we did have a conclusion that single character IDN TLDs should be allowed. I think we can I'll stick my head out to sort of put that as where we are in terms of the GTLD side. I wanted to hear from the CCTLD side as well, but comment question from here, and then I have Tina.
Hi, I'm Jason Polis. As with the ASCII single characters, you should prohibit all digits, just generally. That's my humble opinion. In terms of restricting the pool of characters, it's probably worthwhile coming up with a restricted list to begin with anyway. Now, the big question, though, is what is going to be safest and most secure for all the users of the internet? And in terms of that, the safest policy is probably to prohibit single characters altogether. But if you're not going to prohibit single characters, then at least come up with a restricted list that's non-confusable and where all the characters that are confusable at least map to a single character, so that only one character can represent that grapheme, so that people don't get confused and there's a lower risk of phishing. Thanks.
Thank you. And the reserve names working group for the new GTLD did take that into consideration as well. Just want to let you know that the final report, the final recommendations from the GNSO did take that into consideration. So single ASCII characters and numbers and those kind of things are being reserved, and it's prohibited essentially. So Tina, and then Karen.
Well, so I was just going to push back on you in a little bit about the reserved names working group and the fact that they said, well, single characters should be allocated or delegated or whatever. But... So when the policy part of the ICANN community comes up with something and says, oh, you know, you should delegate this, the ICANN staff has a really hard time, because how do we implement something like that? You know, there's no guidance associated with it. So what we did for a really long time was to try to figure out how to delegate this. And when ICANN staff suddenly starts trying to delegate something there's no policy associated with, guess what the community then says? Oh, ICANN staff is making up policy. Okay, great. Well, now we have a really hard task at our hands. So this is why it is now thrown back to you guys, because we're stuck, you know, no matter how we try to do with it.
Carrie?
I just want to point out digits in TLD labels aren't permitted by the underlying protocols. It doesn't exist. And the initial constraint, which says that TLD label, the DNS will accept anything. Any 8-bit sequence can appear in a DNS label. However, because you can't tell if the leftmost label and two label name is a host name or a domain name, there's called the host name rule, the LDH rule, letters, digits, hyphens only. But there is a further constraint on that if the label is a top-level label, and that is that it can be alphabetic only. And the notion of alphabetic, which initially did mean the letters in the ASCII on the ASCII chart, that's currently being modified as we speak to permit A labels, XN dash dash, and then a sequence of letters and numbers, specifically to allow those in the root zone in that case only. But the constraint on digits of all flavors remains. So we don't need to worry about excluding them by policy. They're excluded on the protocol level.
Carrie, as you said earlier, I agree with you that the protocol itself allows any 8-bit character sequence in any of the labels. So it's not technically restricted.
Yes, it is. There is.
It's restricted by policy, and the policy is implemented technically.
No, it is not. The IDNA protocol, which regulates the behavior of all software that our policy is attached to, will not allow this to happen.
IDNA is simply a bridging technology to allow a full 8-bit implementation of multi.
No, it is not. There is no effort underway in the IETF to render the DNS in the sense that you are, you mean it, UTF-8. That is not everybody. I mean, there's always some suggestion, which is a very reasonable suggestion, that if only the DNS were UTF-8 based, this entire discussion would disappear. But the effort necessary to make it so has been rejected at every juncture by the people who would be actually doing the work. I mean, it means turning off the internet and rebooting it. And the email implications, if nothing else, for doing that are just, it's a showstopper. I'm sorry, that's the wrong word. It's just not conceivable. It's conceivable, but it's not implementable. And Avery knows it, so will somebody please make me stop looking like the ranting fanatic here? Yeah.
James, you wanted to add a comment?
So I just wanted to make a point to Jason that it is the numeric top-level domain, as Carp say, is actually forbidden within the DNS protocol. It's not a policy question.
Thank you, James. So jumping back to our discussion on the conference call last time, I posited the question really to the group, you know, really what Avery just said and also Tina alluded to earlier is the current new GTLD process and policies are seem to be capable of handling single character IDNs, aside from some of the issues that were brought up in terms of the ideographic versus alphabetic, those items. But in terms of at least the process itself, I wonder if there, in terms of the application and then the evaluation for confusability and those kind of things, I wonder if anyone wants to add any additional, besides the stock taking that I took, which is four items so far. Want to add to any further items and on the GTLD side. And also I wanted to ask the anyone from the CCTLD or CCNSO side whether there are any particular consideration for the IDN CTLD fast track policies that need to take this into account, and whether the CCPDP would be taking this into account as well. Anyone want to? Last time, actually, we asked. Is Bart still here?
Yeah.
Oh, last time we asked to take a look at the IDN CCTLD fast track. Whether there was a limitation on the number of characters. I think probably Tina has the answer.
Well, I don't have an answer, but there's no countries or territories that are where the name is a single character. So then it would mean that a country or territory would have to come up with a one-character meaningful representation of their country name. I can't think of any.
I'm just not ruling it out because I'm just not trying to make the assumption.
Well, it looks to me like we have a broad group of different country representations in the room. I'm sure if we think for like a few minutes, can anybody think about a country name that possibly could be meaningfully represented by one character?
Bumper stickers on cars around Europe typically have like an F for France.
What?
If you look around the bumper stickers on cars in Europe, you'll see that there are the single characters used to say where the car's from. Mm. People might use it for their number plates.
First of all, if we're talking Latin, that's not included in the fast track. But are they meaningful? I mean, is there anyone that's an IDN? Because being from Europe, I can't think of any either.
I think that single character as a criteria doesn't mean anything if you look at IDN, the IDN PDP. It is not about limitations in character. It's what Tina said. It needs to be a meaningful representation that's still in the PDP as well as an accepted criteria. So, and it goes back to, say, one of the three points you mentioned about the allocation mechanism. The allocation mechanism probably if there would be a single character, meaningful representation of a country name or territory name, that would be eligible for, say, probably the fast track and probably most likely under the future policy as well. That is a complete different allocation mechanism than for single character new GTLDs, probably, because then you come in really into a scarcity discussion, and I think this is one of the instances where you see divergence between the new GTLD and CCTLD methods of dealing and allocating TLDs.
Thank you. It seems to me that in terms of the discussion leading towards a couple of things. One is seems like the current mechanism does handle it in a way by really saying that you have to first of all demonstrate that it's a meaningful representation, and it seems like it's at least to, I guess, around the room, it seems like unlikely that it would pass that test in a way. But at the same time, I guess perhaps the other way around to look at it is whether in terms of the single character IDN TLD, whether it is everything should be put into the GTLD side. Is that a valid question? Because the reason why I'm asking this is we talked about some process going forward. Is we're doing a stock taking of all the questions that need to be asked, and we'll put a document together and put it out for public comments. So the question was whether whether we should ask the question that single character IDN TLDs should really be dealt with in GTLDs, and whether the CC and TLD side should have that consideration at all. Tina wanted to.
Yeah, unless there's anyone else, but I would say why don't you ask your CCNSO representatives and BART to take it back to the CCNSO and say the group couldn't really see that this was a CCTLD-related subject, and we just want to send it back to you before we completely take it off the table for this group. And then if the CCNSO comes back and says, well, you know, we think we do have something to say about it, and here's what it is, well, then the group can take it up. But if they say, yeah, we agree, well, then you have it off the table. And you can give it back to the GNSO.
No. I was just
whatever you want.
Posing yeah. this potential question. I don't think we have talked about it enough here yet, but is this a question that wants to be, you know, should be asked?
Yes, I think it is, but what became very clear, say, over the last couple of minutes, what you're dealing with is different allocation mechanisms. And it depends on even, say, the core question from a CC perspective, I imagine, is whether there is a one-character meaningful representation of a country name. And if the conclusion might be there is not, then it's fine. But if there is a one, you end up in the same discussion as the use of country names as new GTLDs currently, even if they're, say, very obviously country names. And what is the discussion with the GAC and the CCNSO and in the new GTLD process?
Avery?
Yeah. Sorry again. I think that one may also actually already be covered, even though a lot of people aren't happy about the way it's covered in the GTLD process, because any string that shows up that a country can claim is significant for it is excluded from being, if I'm interpreting what's written there correctly, is excluded now. And if it's a country name or can be seen as a country name, it's already supposed to be excludable from the current GTLD round. So while it's good to ask the question, and I think it's reasonable to ask the question, we're probably already covered if I understand what the current rules say.
Excuse me. And maybe if this working group, say, as tentatively or as draft would put this out, say, therefore the single character issue is much broader, so whether you can separate it out or not is not relevant. It's the application of the current rules that determine how the problem will be defined. And it will have different impact either in the CC side of the ICANN arena and in the G side of it.
Thank you. Well, it seems like the discussion. I think it's a little bit premature to ask the question. It seems like what I'm hearing is that I don't think anybody can make, at least not in this room, can make the assumption that there would not be a meaningful representation with one character for a country. So. That's good to know. I threw it out for discussion. I'd like to try to move to the second item in the agenda, I think it was a good discussion, and we'll collect those questions earlier. So the second item was it's now this disappeared, but the second item was
Can I add one last coda to that, doing research, which is it seems that there's an ISO 3166, and then there's a code that talks about codes referring to international vehicle registration codes. So people may want to take a look at those set of somebody-defined letters to see whether it does fit into the yet another ISO set that people can attach significance to.
I won't go there, but good suggestion. So moving forward with the IDN-TLD variant part, Tina, you in our previous meeting, you mentioned a document that was being prepared by staff to looking into this issue. Just any update?
Sure. So the problem with the subject, of course, is that it keeps being thrown back and forth in the community, and then it's technical, and then it's policy, and it doesn't really seem like any side of the different groups have gotten a really good grasp at what is it that we're trying to do. So what staff was trying to do was to come up with a plan that we could then put out to the community for comments and discussions, so that it wasn't like a staff-directed action item, but it was like a staff proposal for how to deal with the subject. And as I had mentioned, we had, at the last meeting, we had drafted a plan for the board work, so there's a board working group on the subject, to help, you know, to help to support us on it. So we, on the staff side, had drafted a plan for that board working group and gave them the plan because we needed their feedback before we could publish it. And there has just honestly been so many things going on up against the Brussels meeting and in the last several months that that plan has not gotten any traction. So as opposed to publishing a plan, which, and when we publish papers before a public meeting, we of course have to do it in a timely manner, which we weren't able to do on this one. So instead of doing that, we put it on the agenda for a session to have some broader community discussions on it. So that session is tomorrow, and the plan is quite simply for me to talk a little bit about what the staff think needs to be done as a proposal. Then we're going to hear from a couple of the registries that have some experience with variant management, which of course is one type of variance. And then we're going to open up for discussions and to try to take some brainstorming and some feedback down. And based on whatever comes out of that meeting, staff will update the plan, get some feedback from the board working group, and we'll then publish it. So that's sort of like the timeline and the action items that you see from the staff side on the subject right now. The overall attempt is really to come up with something that is defined clearly enough in order to let the policy groups go ahead with their policy discussions on it, and in order to let the technical groups go ahead with understanding a little bit better about where we're coming from and what they might want to test or what they might want to consider as should something new be developed. So overall, that's, you know, without going too much into the subject area, that's where we're at from a process standpoint.
Thank you, Tina. Is there any preview that you can give this group in terms of what you're looking to present tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't changed from last time I said anything publicly about it. It's just that we haven't had those community discussions yet. So it's really exactly as what's in previous emails or blog posts, which is simply we need to define these things clearly. We need to figure out between the different types of variants, do we want to solve all of them at the same time? Is that at all possible? Should we try to solve some of them first, get some experience, and then move forward? You know, I can't remember who it was, maybe somebody in this room referred to it as, you know, peeling one layer of the onion at a time as opposed to trying to take the whole one. As soon as we have been able to clarify, you know, what is it actually that we mean with variance, then talk about should the policy be the same for all of them? Is there some of them that are easier? Can we, you know, is there some that doesn't need any technical solutions, or is there some where we feel like there is a need for a technical solution? And the technical community, of course, is going to say, we don't have a technical solution, but if you want, so we need to articulate what kind of functionality is it that we're looking for. And then they will have to say, okay, well, let's try to build that. Or they will say, that's not feasible in the DNS. Here is your limitations. Is this good enough? And then that communication can take place back and forth. And it isn't right now, and that's unfortunate, and it hasn't been. And I'm sure we could have done better for a million years, but we haven't. So from the staff side, we're saying, let's try to get this defined. let's have a policy discussion. What is it that a community wants in terms of functionality? How should this work? I think many groups have a lot to say about that. I think the ALAC should have a lot to say, and you know, what is it that they want from a user functionality standpoint. The CCNSO and the GNSO both wants variants. The CCs want variants of fast track. You know, you can see which ones, you know, we're publishing them. You can see which ones it is. There's different types of variants there. On the GTLD side, we're getting a lot of questions about basic translations. Is this variants? And we say, no, it's not. But all of those things need to be clarified. And so the session tomorrow is simply to see if we can get some more discussions on it that can inform a staff paper that we can put out as a proposal. And again, that's staff trying to provide some suggestions and ideas and not generating policy.
Thank you, Tina. Okay, so it seems to me on this topic we sort of are, the group would somewhat be a spectator in terms of looking at tomorrow and then further discussing the issue once once we can see what's happening and also the paper from staff, and we can take it from there. Carrie, you.
This is endemic to this problem. Everybody is waiting for somebody else to define the problem.
Yeah. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, but I mean, Edmund is just saying, well, we'll sit on the sidelines and wait and see what happens tomorrow. At some point, somebody is going to have to start articulating requirements, functional requirements. And we, at this point, the term variant is undefined.
So I take it from Carrie that this is a challenge for this group to start the discussion, in fact. Is that rather than further waiting?
I wanted to ask Carrie something, because I want to make sure something I'm understanding from semi-participating in the IETF group is that if you know, name droppers or DNSX become extensions becomes active and sets up a new charter again, would there be an opportunity for people to contribute notions of what could be required in a protocol extension, and that's something that we could be expected to help contribute to. I'm not sure I'm understanding what's going on correctly, so I'm asking you,
who is
more involved than I am.
Up front, there is the IETF, largely because of the tedium that is attached to the discussion of IDNA BIS, is highly resistant to doing anything that even vaguely looks like further patching on what is a patchwork quilt to make this thing implementable. And if there is a cogent statement of the problem that we need to, that we are hoping they will help us solve, and yes, that's where we contribute, then that gets put forward. And if it's cogent enough, it will be considered. But one very possible, if not to say likely, outcome is that this is indeed a problem, but it is not a problem that we can solve. But there's reluctance here. I mean, this everybody waiting for everybody else is a source of overt irritation in many circles. Here we're being cautious. The engineer mindset is a little bit more straightforward on all of this. And the chairs of the DNSX group, which would be the one that would have the charter to do this, are the one of them is silent and the other is actually fighting this. So, no, this is a nightmare. And it's ICANN's nightmare. It's a policy nightmare. And don't expect the technical community to come up with a protocol solution that just makes the problems go away. And at this point, they do not believe, and I think that's a justified standpoint, that we have told them what it is that we want help with. And saying variance doesn't help anybody with anything. Well, it does. I mean, the word is going to be variance, but there has to be a cogent definition of it. And that's what I think a group such as this can be actively participatory in, but don't believe that any individual group is going to be owning this issue. I mean, if it does go into the IETF working group, it's going to make what happened with IDNA BIS look like a rather tame preliminary exercise.
Tina, and then I want to come back with the remaining 3 minutes to just talk a little bit about next steps.
Does that mean I can't talk for 3 minutes?
It doesn't.
So, Carrie, you know, the hesitation in the technical community is the reason why staff is saying, okay, this is really important for the global community for domain names. You know, we hear lots of groups who want these variants delegated, and they need them, and they need them for obvious reasons. And since it doesn't seem like there's a lot of things moving forward on the subject, that's why staff said, okay, this is really important. Actually, our board and executive said, this is really important. Let's try to see if staff can move this forward a little bit. So that's in, you know, we deal with our goals and activities and projects and stuff like that in trimesters. So the variants is one that is expected to be set for the coming trimester, and that one's, you know, we're setting all of the goals for all of that here in mid-July after this meeting. So I assume that that's going to have a higher priority there, and that's why we're trying to do it. The other thing is that it's not just the IETF side on it, right? I mean, there is opened up discussions about whether DNAME works for this and whether the functionality that DNAME provides is sufficient enough for what it is that we want variants to be able to do. And since we still haven't articulated what we want variants to do, it's hard to test DNAME to see if it's matching up. But so there's a lot of stuff there still that can be dealt with here and within the staff functionality and so forth, and not necessarily the IETF. But the IETF certainly in the DNSX should be kept in the loop. And of course, they have a lot of individuals there with expertise that we need to inform of what it is that we're doing. And that's, I think, the goal of some of all of the meetings this week. At least that's one of my goals, to try to get that feedback to them, to keep them informed about where we are. Not necessarily just say, oh, here's our definition of variance, but to say, these and these discussions took place, you know, here is sort of like generally what people at the ICANN meeting were thinking about it, just to keep you in the loop of how things are going forward. I think that's important, not just throw stuff over the wall at some point in time, but to, you know, keep the interaction going.
But I think I hear clearly that this group should at least look into the policy requirements of variants. I had Siavash, and I think Carrie wanted to speak.
Can I make a suggestion? I think the first step would be for maybe Carrie comes up with good words. Instead of just talking about variants, let's just define at least two different kinds of variants. And instead of talking about variants, and you know, ending every session with, you know, the fact that there are different kinds of variants, we have to deal with them separately. Just talk about different kinds of things: variant one, variant two, or even, you know, different words. And that may be a first step in defining clearly what the issues are.
That was the way this was approached in the technical, I don't know, I forget what we called it. I mean, it wasn't a working group. It was the implementation team. Well, that's exactly the way we approached it. And we couldn't quite agree. We certainly agreed that there were different kinds of variants, but we figured that the labels that we would put on them would just confuse everybody. And why are we doing this anyway? There's no technical implication to this, and we were only supposed to talk about the technical stuff. And the real discussion in the group became, we can't address this issue because it is a policy issue, and we can't pretend that it can be transformed into a technical one. And the DNSX group, which is the one that would be dealing with all of the things that Tina's been talking about, sort of feels the same way. Sorry, guys, we're not going to wave a magic wand and allow you to hang this on us. They're policies. They are intricate policies. You make policy, make policy. There is no protocol help to be awaited here.
Gary, I think we've run out of time. Just in terms of going forward, I had originally thought, in our discussion, that we could handle the two issues, the single character and the IDN variants, with the same document and working it together. It seems to me, at least from today's discussion, that we really should separate them, we'll handle it one at a time. Not necessarily one at a time, but handle them as two separate issues. We talked about having a document out. so that it's we can get comments back, and it's really a stock taking of questions to throw out to the community. And then I guess we'll restart the biweekly meetings and take it from there as one of the main first items in terms of how we take the next steps in terms of these two main items. With that, Jen, did you want to add anything? If not, then thank you, and we can stop the recording. Thank you, everyone, for your time.